Blog Talk Radio.
And so we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're meaning by that.
but I want to call your attention to St. John, the 16th chapter. And we're going to start start the 12th verse, John 16 and 12. Now, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. Now, it started out before that in verse 15, in chapter 15, I'm sorry. He began to talk with them about the fact that he had chosen them, and so that the Spirit was coming, this Comforter was to come, and he was to be sent from the Father. He is to be the Spirit of truth, and he is. He proceeds straight from the Father, and he testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how chapter 15 ended. But then we come over here to chapter 16 of St. John, and as I said, as we start there in verse 12, Jesus is saying, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, those are the scriptures we want to use tonight. And I want to just impress upon your heart tonight that the Lord is saying that we have to dare to just move beyond saying what it is that we see. All right? We got to have to move beyond saying what we see and start saying what we hear. What do we mean by that? Well, the Spirit, as we just read in the scriptures, he says that he shall speak what he hears. The Holy Ghost is going to speak exactly what he hears from the throne room. He's going to speak, and we can trust that what he speaks, he's speaking in all truth, and he's not speaking of himself, but he's speaking what he hears from the throne room. And if the scripture is saying that he's speaking, then it's implied here that there's an intent that if there's someone speaking, then there should be a hearer. And I present to you tonight that we are to hear what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And this is what was said to the churches in Revelation, that we want to hear what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. So Jesus told them here that the Spirit of truth was going to come. And we know that he's here. He's in the earth. He resides in us. And he speaks to us. Some can't understand or comprehend that we serve the true and living God. We serve a God who speaks to us. So if the Spirit is speaking what he hears, then he's speaking with an intent. There's an implication that there are hearers, and those hearers are to be you and me, the church. So we are to listen and to hear intently what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. So we have to shift our focus then beyond what it is that we see and begin to say what it is that we hear. So when we speak what we see, though, our focus, I want you to think about this. Our outlook and our grasp is limited. Think about if you just talk about what it is that you're able to see. We speak what we see. You know, what we envision for our lives is based upon what we see and what we can comprehend with our finite minds. God is saying, no, if you do that, then you're going to respond to your situation out of a place of limitation. You see, because we can only reach to that which is tangible when we operate based upon what we see. Then we respond to what's tangible, we reach to what's tangible. We're limited by what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can comprehend with our minds. But when we speak what the Spirit has said, then we're moved beyond a place that's dictated and confined, a place that's limited by our senses. I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. So the Lord is saying that really what we have to understand is the Spirit is going to speak things to us that oftentimes our intellect will not comprehend. You see, because God is not calling on our intellect. God is not calling on our experiences. He's not calling on any of that to get in line with what he's saying. You know, oftentimes, if the truth be told, our intellect will smack against what it is that God is saying because it may not make sense to us. And this is what it is that causes the world to stumble at this thing that we call faith, is because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. God uses those things that are foolish to confound the wise, because the mind of God is so great. And think about this. The scripture has said that we have the mind of Christ, but we only operate in the mind of Christ if we're really willing to pull out of a place where we're only operating based on what we see, but we begin to speak what we hear. So you may say, well, I'm not hearing anything. Well, we have to go back again and seek God. First of all, seeking him through his word. It's a time that God is calling us back to his word and to find out what it is that he's saying. God is speaking to us. God speaks to his church. God speaks to his people. God speaks to his sheep. We're his sheep. He says, my sheep know my voice. There it is again. And a stranger, they'll not follow. So if he's not speaking, how do the sheep know his voice? Well, again, God speaks to his sheep. And oftentimes because of our intellect and what we've been accustomed to, you got to realize that before we come to Christ, we have done everything that we've done based upon what makes sense, based upon what we've been taught, based upon our own experiences, what worked before, so that didn't work, so it didn't work then, it certainly can't work now, or we've tried that before, there's no need to try that again. But the Spirit of the Lord is saying, when I'm speaking to you and I'm guiding you, the expectation is that we will go in override when it comes to what makes sense to our intellect and what doesn't add up with regard to our experiences or anybody else's experiences. Because just because somebody else did it and it didn't work doesn't mean that God is not calling for us to move in that direction now. He's saying, I need you to move beyond that place that's confined, that place that's limited by your senses. So that's the first thing we need to understand, is God is not calling on our intellect. He's not calling on our experiences, but he's calling us to hear and to hear what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us right now. Not what he said yesterday, but right now. So we want to stop saying what it is that we see that will always limit us if we are confined by what it looks like. You know, don't talk about what it looks like and what we see and what the limit, because it's always limited. You know, the tangible is just that. It's only that which can be touched, which can be felt, which can be handled. But, you know, God has given us to know in the word that that which is intangible is more real than that which is tangible, if you will. That which is unseen is more real than that which is seen. Why? Because we operate in and through and by faith. This is a faith walk, and the Spirit of the Lord always comes back to remind us of that. Why? Because of the fact that there are so many distractions on a daily basis in this world. We get distracted by what we deal with when we go to our jobs, and if we're not careful, we get so caught up in that and so hung up in that as though, you know, that is the means to our end, but it's not. You know, people don't dictate where we're going and what God has in store for our lives. That paycheck is not indicative of the great blessing and the manifold blessing that God has spoken over our lives. And if we're entrapped in that which we see as our experience, going to work day in and day out, getting a check, feeling as though that's what we're motivated by and that's what we're driven by and this is what steers our life, then we're limited. But God is saying, I need you to see beyond that. That's the tangible. You know, the tangible says you can only afford this. The tangible says you can only do this and go there. You can only help out so much because you have this. But God is able to multiply. If he calls us to the task, He can multiply well beyond what it is that we see on paper. And that's what I'm saying to us tonight, is that God is saying, you must stop saying what you see. I don't want that to be your profession. Your profession must be that of faith. You must begin to say what you hear, not what you see. Because what we hear comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not speak on his own, but he hears that, he speaks that which he hears of the Father. And whatever he hears testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus' mind is always to do the will of the Father. His meat is to do the will of the Father. That's why he came. He came to set the captives free. And so when we do that, it pushes us beyond any human frailty and limitation. And that applies to you, and that applies to me. Listen, the next thing I want to say to you is God is not limited by the extent of your talent or my talent and your know-how or my know-how. He's not limited by that. You may say, well, I don't have the experience to do X, Y, and Z. I wish I did, but I don't. But God will open up a door. He will open up whatever doors are necessary to get us to the place to prepare us for the next move. And if that door doesn't open naturally, God has a way of propelling us into a place. And we find that once we get there, he stretches us and makes it such that we feel that space. And he does it in a way that is supernatural. It is beyond our means and our capabilities. So he's not limited by your capabilities, by your talent, by your know-how, nor is he limited by mine. You see, when the scripture says Jesus ascended up on high and he led captivity captive, that which would have held us captive, he's already led that captive, so it can't even hold us anymore. He's led captivity captive, and you know what he did? He gave gifts unto men. And so the gifts that God has given to us are to be anointed and to be used for his glory beyond our human capabilities. That's why our giftings from God supersede our talents. You know, the gifts of God, that's what God breathes upon. It comes from him. He gave gifts unto men severally as he wills. All of that comes through the Holy Ghost. And it's meant to be used, everything that we have of God is to be used in the kingdom, but you must understand that the kingdom operates in the supernatural. So it's not just about our talents. The giftings of God are to be used on a supernatural plane to bring about supernatural results. Otherwise, he could have just left us to operate in our gifts and impress one another. But that's not what to operate in our talents and impress one another. But that's not what the gifts of God are for. Sometimes we find people looking at others and wanting what they have, but the trick of the enemy is to have us desiring what someone else has. Now, let me tell you something about that. When the enemy gets us off focus and has us looking and desiring what someone else has, it's a trick. It's a ploy to bring us away from our place of power, our place of anointing. You see, when you and I begin to desire and determine within our hearts that we want something that someone else has, rather than building upon and cultivating and praying over the gift that God has given to us, it's a trick of the enemy. Why? Because what God has given to us is meant to be anointed by the Spirit of God and used in a supernatural way, in a way that is beyond our abilities and our capabilities, beyond our intellect, beyond our experiences. There are things that we will do in the kingdom that we have no experience with. Man didn't teach it. If you have a gift of God, it's not something that man taught. You know, you may find that, well, I do this and I do this well, but when God breathes upon it, it's something that even can sometimes cause you to stand in awe, because it's not something that you do, but when you flow in that place, you realize there is a supernatural anointing that pushes you beyond what your natural capabilities are. And that's what it is to flow in the Spirit. We would not need the Spirit of God if we could do the things of God apart from him, but we can't. The flesh can never please God. You know, our talents, that's good. That's good enough. You know, that's good enough to impress one another. But when we pull down walls, when we destroy yokes, it has to be, and it always is, by the anointing of God. And the enemy wants to pull us off focus from what God has given to us to do in terms of our gifting, because that's where our anointing flows. And it's the anointing that destroys yokes. So if he can get us looking at one another and desiring what the other has and not flowing in our anointing, watch that. Then it pulls us away from the move of God. It drains us. It disempowers us. And we're not effective in the kingdom. And that's a plot and a scheme of the enemy to pull us apart from the place of our anointing. The place of your anointing is where you're best. That's where you'll meet your best self, because the real you in the kingdom of God is the you that operates through the power of the living God and not out of a place where you've learned, where your intellect has taken you and what you've experienced. No, you're open to whatever it is that God wants to do today, in this hour, in this situation. You know, the Spirit of God, when he's in control, then we give him the go-ahead to do what needs to be done in this particular situation. You may flow in a way that you've never flowed before, if we're open to the Spirit of God, because of what's needed in this situation. This is what's so great and so wonderful and so awesome about the Holy Ghost, about the Spirit of the living God. You see, you can manage your talent. We can manage our talents. We can manage our talents. Practice, practice, practice. You know, we say practice makes perfect. We can manage our talents, but the anointing is greater than you are. You can't manage that. God gifts men severally as he wills. We don't determine that. We don't determine who's gifted and who's not. We don't determine who flows this way and who flows that way. But what we need to understand is that it's all for the upbuilding of the kingdom. But the enemy wants us to fight against one another and for me to desire what you have and you to desire what the other one has and whatever, because that way we're distracted and we're focused on what we see instead of being focused on what the Spirit of God has said. And so this is what God is saying to us tonight. I want to give you something that you are not to manage, but you are to allow the Spirit of the living God to flow in you in a way that he sees fit. Our desire should be to just say yes. Our responsibility is to stay before God so that we can be in a place where we hear him. Because let me tell you, your anointing is greater. It's greater than you are. It's greater than that which we can touch and that which we can feel and that which we have experienced in the past, because it's always greater. We've not lived to experience the greatest that God has for us yet. How do I know that? Because the Word of God gives us to know that daily he loads us with benefits, that morning by morning it's new mercies that we see, and that with each new day, God has greater for us. He wants to enlarge our borders. And remember, this is not just about stuff. When we talk about God enlarging our borders and God enlarging our territory, God, enlarge my territory, enlarge my capacity to do more for the kingdom. You know, enlarge my capacity to take on more of your Spirit, to be filled the more with your Spirit, Lord God, to be yielded the more to your of your Spirit, to yield the more. You know, where is our direction if we're still wondering about what God has spoken to us? We have to get to a place where we are willing to sacrifice time and our energy and whatever it takes to get before God and to hear his voice, to become acquainted again with his voice, to know what it is that he's saying and be willing to do it against all odds, because people will oppose you. Everybody's not going to like what it is that God has given you to do or to say. Read the scriptures. Search the scriptures. The word says, in them we think we have eternal life. Search the scriptures. That word goes to us too. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Then know what it is that has gone before us. Know how it was for those who chose to carry this word before you and I. That doesn't mean just preachers, but anybody who has been born of the Spirit of God. Then we are carriers of this word, and we are carriers of the anointing. But we're not of this world, and that's why the world hates us, because it hated Christ before it hated us. You can read that in John 15. So the scripture comes to tell us that the servant is not greater than his Lord, and so we have to be subject to the Spirit of God, knowing that it's not going to cause us to win popularity contests, but it will take us to a place beyond limitation, beyond the confines of that which is tangible. The Lord is saying today, just do it. Just do what it is that I've spoken. And if you don't know what it is that I've said to you through the Spirit of God, then seek my face. Because, you see, God wants to speak to us. God wants to share with us. God wants us to know his will. It's not that God is trying to hide his will from us. He wants us to know his will and to do his will. Jesus taught us to pray that way. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. How is his will to be done in earth? It's to be done through his people, through you and through me. So we're to try him. We're to fine-tune our hearing. Know that God won't fail. He'll always come through. You know, he'll direct our paths. He will deliver. And so what it is tonight that God wants us to hone in on is that, you know, it's not that God has drawn back or that he's changed his mind concerning you or concerning me, but he wants us to take stock of what it is that we have begun to focus on. Are we focused on what we see, or are we focused on what God has said? Because this is key. God is saying, I want you to know that what I'm speaking to you is going to push you beyond your limitations. It's going to push you beyond that place that's dictated, that place that's confined, that place that's limited to your senses. Do not bank on what you see. Begin to say what God has said. And when you say what God has said, we'll begin to see what it is that God has designed for our lives. It'll begin to look more like that. As faith walkers, we have to know that that which is unseen is more real than that which is seen. And that's what you have to face each day knowing, is that, listen, this is what I'm dealing with today, but I know there's more. There's more beyond this. You know, this job, this car, this house, all of that. God is saying, no, you're more than that. You're more than that. And what I've put in you requires more than that. What I've put in you requires you to see more. See more than just a good job. See more than a big house. You got to see more than a fine ride. You've got to see more than those clothes that you put on every day. You've got to see beyond all of that that we can touch and get to a place where you're saying, God, yes, I lift my hands and surrender to you, and whatever it is that you want to do through me, push me beyond these limitations. Push me beyond my intellect. You know, stretch me beyond my experiences. I don't want to be limited by that. I don't want to be limited by my talent. Talent is fine. But see, talent is used to impress other people. People applaud and, you know, do all these things and push you up, and the next day they put you down and all of that based upon your talent and what you're able to do for them today. But one thing about it, the gifts of God, I'm talking about the gifts now, the gifts of God are without repentance, and it's the giftings of God that he breathes upon and that he anoints. And he uses those to push us beyond our human capability. You know, your talent is going to take you as far as you'll study, and that you can improve upon it and do the best that you can. And yes, when God gifts us, he gives to our charge to guard that gift and to pray over that gift and cultivate that gift. But when that gift is anointed, it's beyond what we're able to do. That gift is greater than your capability or mine because it's from God. It's supernatural. It supersedes our human capability. So tonight I've come to push you to say there's more for you. God is calling you to a place of greater expansion. When we talk about enlarging our borders, God is saying stop looking at those around you. Stop wanting what you see somebody else have and begin to allow me to use what I've put in you, because the enemy wants to pull you off of your focus, because that's where your anointing is. And it's the anointing that always destroys yokes. The enemy doesn't want yokes to be destroyed. He doesn't want shackles to be loosed. But God has come to loose the shackles. He's come to set the captive free. And he only does it by the power of the anointing through the Holy Ghost. Dare to speak what you hear the Spirit of the Lord saying in this hour. Listen, dare to do what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is charging you to do. He will not fail you. If you look at what you can see when the Lord is calling you to your next place, you won't go, because you'll base it upon what you know of yourself. But God's not calling you to a greater place to operate out of yourself. No, he's not doing that. He's calling us to a greater place where the Spirit of the living God can move through us in a greater way, beyond our capabilities. No more confined, no more limited. This is what I'm saying to you tonight. God is saying, I want to push you beyond that place of limitation. I must call you there. I must pull you there. You know, you must dare to go. Dare to go. Dare to stop saying what you see. No more. No more of that. But begin to speak. Begin to speak what God has said. Begin to speak what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it because you don't see it yet, because we're not saying what we see. We're saying what God has said. You know, so say it. And then if you don't see it, say it anyway. You know, if the Spirit of the Lord is saying it, say it. You know, and don't worry about the results. See, that's where we get hung up. And I'm about to close, but the enemy wants to get us hung up in looking for the results. But it's not ours to determine the result. Ours is to say what God said. And God says, if you just agree with what I've said, I'll take care of the rest. That's not yours to do. Yours is to walk it out. Yours is to call upon my name. Yours is to trust me in every situation. Yours is to know that you're not limited by your money, your paycheck, your circumstance, that job, those people who keep trying to give you the blues. All of those people are in God's hand. And when we begin to say what God says and begin to call out the works of the enemy on our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, whatever it is, wherever it is, just say what God has said and leave the rest to him. You know, we have no reason to go and be down, to feel like people have some type of hold on us, or, you know, they're bringing me down today and, you know, they're not doing me right. No, we live by kingdom principles. Our walk is dictated by the supernatural, not the natural, the supernatural. So we have to come above. It doesn't mean you're greater than, but it does mean that you live in a greater realm, and God can do greater things when we operate out of that place. We are seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, so we need to start operating from that vantage point and stop trying to operate from a place that's limited by flesh. Operate from the place where God says he's already seated us We are seated together. If you go back and check Ephesians, go on and read Ephesians 1 and 2 tonight. But God says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need to see ourselves there and operate from that place. Say, God, help me to see what you see from this place, the place where I'm seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Help me, God, to think with the mind of Christ, because I didn't say it, you said it. You said, I have the mind of Christ, and help me to operate from that place. This is how I bring every thought that's not of God under subjection, is because I have the mind of Christ. Things come across my mind, but I immediately evict them if they don't exalt Christ. If they don't lift up and magnify God, I will evict them from my mind. So this is where we live. This is how we walk. This is how we talk. This is what we see. This is what we hear. I love you on tonight. I don't know if anybody had comments on tonight, but listen, it's been a joy to be with you. I always like to give opportunity for anyone who has comments or questions on any of our broadcast segments. We just trust and pray that those who listen, maybe later by archives, that they'll be blessed as well. All you have to do if you have a comment or question is press 1. You know that at any time. But if we don't have anyone with comments on tonight, we'll certainly be praying for you and get out of the way tonight. But just know that God has you in mind, and God's calling you higher. And God's expanding your borders. You see, it's already done. He's calling us to walk there, though. All right? Shift your focus. Shift your focus. Move. Move beyond what you see and begin to focus on what you hear, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this hour. God bless you. Join us next Monday evening at 7:30 for When Passion Meets Passion.